I think one of the biggest questions for Bubba's children is how close do I feel to Bubba? And probably that goes to the heart of this life, doesn't it? And some time ago, I can't remember how long, that we read in a revised Morley on a Sunday, and Bubba said, it is on the basis of purity that you feel, firstly, extremely close to Bubba, secondly, in front of Bubba, or thirdly, at a distance from Bubba. And Bubba's eternally pure, the only soul out of 7 point something billion is eternally pure. And when I heard that, I really began to think, well, this whole life is really about feeling closer and closer to Bubba. So in a way, it's a message to me that I've got to nurture a deeper and deeper purity in myself, because the automatic consequence of that is a sense of that closeness which we all crave and want so much. And what I feel personally is that we're old souls. We're these extraordinary souls with 84 births in our memory track, which I think it's incredible, really. We're old souls. And for an old soul, as soon as we hear about purity, we know it's right. We know it's the truth. And I don't just mean celibacy. I mean like all aspects of purity in my thinking, in my attitude, in my behavior, in my relationships. You know that intuitive part of you that just says, this is right, this is the truth. Because why do I love Bubba? Because we've searched for Bubba. Bubba's the lover we've searched for such a long time. Because I think of his purity. Because embedded in that purity is true love, honesty, innocence. So many sweet things are embedded in that purity, and why that feeling of attraction is something which is so strong. And really my own experience is that when I feel that feeling inside, and purity is like a, how would you describe the feeling of it? It's a clean feeling, isn't it? And a feeling of well-being and a feeling of self-respect. There's a whole rainbow of feelings in there. You feel very comfortable inside. You know, you feel comfortable. It feels right. But we also know, all of us, the other side of the spectrum, that if I don't feel that purity or that cleanliness inside, it's a pretty uncomfortable feeling, isn't it? Especially for an old soul, I think, because it's like it's right in the core of my being, something feels uncomfortable. And sometimes I feel it's almost like when impurity, you know, breezes through my mind or my intellect, my being, it feels like I'm going against my truth. And that's why there's a deep, deep relationship between purity and truth. And early on in my Brahman life, I realized that we know purity is right. We believe purity is right. But that's not enough. When we carry the story in our subconscious of our past with all its, shall we say, its beautiful textures of past experiences, that, you know, like sometimes the power of that subconscious sanskars, even sometimes Bubba says, Bubba knows how strong those some sanskars can be. But when I really begin to love purity, and sometimes I think it's almost like I love Bubba, my heart loves Bubba, and I get that so much power. When I really realize what purity will make me, actually it's purity that will restore me to my original value, my sense of self-value that no person or no situation can take away from me, then it's like it's not just enough to know it and believe it, because then it's easy to come under the influence. But when I really love it, it gives me a resilience and a strength to resist sometimes the pull of my old sanskaras and my old story. And Baba speaks about so many subjects. Which subject do you think he speaks most about? Fellowship, remembrance, purity. It's love. In the Avyakt Mollies, one sister did a sort of search, a sister in Australia. The first subject Baba speaks about is love, and the second is purity. And it's something which I've really loved about Brahma Kumaris, because you can go to any spiritual group in the world or religion. They will all talk about peace, they will all talk about love, they will all talk about happiness, they will all talk about compassion, they will all talk about truth, but only Baba talks about purity. Really at the level, and that's I think when we really see this is true, because Baba's telling us the truth. And I once did that search on purity, and all the things Baba has said is so beautiful. Purity is the real method for self-respect. And Baba went into so much depth. In a way, the more you step back into your state of purity, the automatic consequence is your sense of relationship and self-value comes back. Purity is the real method to be happy. And what is one of Baba's classic sayings? Purity is the mother of peace and happiness. Yeah. And so many times Baba says that whenever, if there's impurity in the soul, the waves of sorrow will still emerge. And even I remember once Baba said that purity is the foundation of spiritual power. And Baba gave quite an in-depth description of how did the prophet souls establish their religions. Where did they get the strength? Because if you read the stories of all the prophets, really, most of them had extraordinary opposition of trying to bring truth into communities that were whatever. It was their purity, Baba said, that enabled them to establish their religions. And even I remember once Baba saying that just as the philosophy of karma is extremely deep, so is the definition of purity. And Baba was saying that if we go out through the day, you know, we're going around the day, and you know, just almost for no apparent reason, just a thought, a memory, a tiny thing, and a little wave of sorrow can sort of come through the mind. Baba was just saying, it's just a gross or subtle form of impurity, but when the soul is pure, that it remains uninfluenced even by insult and, you know, disrespect. Because normally, I think that's where we're incredibly vulnerable. The most vulnerability is usually if someone rejects me for whatever reason. That seems to go to the core of hurt in a human soul. But when the soul is pure, it's like, you know, once I was in the courtyard in Pandavavam, and Daddy Prakashmani was there. And Daddy-ji would come into the courtyard, I think you would remember. And you know how she would meet everybody? Because people would speak, lots of people, she would nod her head. You know how she used to nod, acknowledging everyone. And I saw her come out one day and nod her head, and someone was quite reactive, I would say rude to her. But I just, you know, she just kept moving and nodding her head, and I could see nothing was absorbed, you know, nothing was absorbed inside. And that's really the sign of a soul when it becomes pure. It's watertight, it's, you know, absolutely watertight. I'm not influenced. And to me, you know, purity. What is purity? Purity to me is like a state of being when all aspects of my life are based on truth. The seed is truth. And when truth grows into my life, it becomes purity. When truth is really embedded so deeply inside, as it grows into my thoughts, my feelings, my behavior, it carries the fragrance of purity. Actually, it's like there's an eternal truth which we're hearing from God. The more I am living it, automatically the fragrance of purity begins to emerge from the soul. But all of us, I think, we all know, because not one of us, not even Sakha Baba, came pure into this life. And I think it's good to remember that, you know, not one of us walked in the door a pure soul. We're all working at it, right? We're all on the journey. And I think, I always feel it's good to be a bit relaxed, not to be too intense about impurity when it emerges inside, because it's a journey. It's a journey of self-transformation without a doubt. But how do I start to genuinely nurture a deeper quality of purity within myself? Because sometimes I feel that the main role of Brahmins in serving the world is to become pure. I believe many cooperative souls will come to spread the message. You know, there's people out there who are so articulate and so clever. They will spread the message. Our part is to change our sanskaras, make our sanskaras pure. Baba needs a certain number of souls to do that, which is the true work of transformation. And I feel that there's probably three aspects of truth that if I embed them deeply in myself, the fragrance of purity becomes stronger and stronger. And I would say the first is all relationships with one Baba. This is probably the most powerful point of spiritual knowledge. And I would say Baba's main aspect of healing is, children, I understand you've been around the cycle. You've been in families every birth, but this birth, really, it's all relationships with one. Secondly, to live Srimat. And I wouldn't say follow Srimat, I'd say it becomes who I am. It's not that I really follow it, it's who I am. I absorb it so deeply in myself, because Srimat, I believe, is a deep code of truth. I never see it as rules and regulations and you should, you know, like, really in a rigid sort of religious way. It's this deep code of truth of how to live in a physical world and not create any further sorrow. And then thirdly, really to live the knowledge, so that knowledge becomes wisdom. In the sense, I just don't know the knowledge and I can speak it, but I'm knowledgeful. I actually apply Baba's knowledge. And by that I mean, every scene of life I interpret through God's truth. I don't interpret it through my old emotions and my old story. Because many times I think we know Baba's truth, we believe Baba's truth, we teach Baba's truth, but we think in the old way. So something happens and I still take hurt and I still take insult. In a way, that's not following Srimad. If I've really absorbed Baba's truth within me, because I think when I hold Baba's truth really deep in the sacred space of my mind, and I really nurture it and hold it there, then it will reconnect with the original sanskaras in the fragrance of a deeper purity, and therefore a deeper happiness really begins to emerge in the soul. And there's different levels of purity as far as I can see. And impurity is all about influence. The more impure, the more I am influenced. Purity, as I was saying, is completely and utterly watertight from influence. When there's purity, I can be in a scene of absolute sorrow, complete sorrow, and The soul will be compassionate, understanding, helping, supporting, doing everything it can, but it won't absorb the sorrow. That's the sign of purity. Just like, you know, when you see Bubba on stage there and all the things going on, and you see Bubba so beyond. We've all observed that in the golden age, the soul is in the full bloom. It's full. And when it's full, it needs nothing, has no desire. And so that state of complete purity. When I come to the copper age, a little bit of desire comes, and there's a spiritual law that says, whatever I desire will influence me. So the more I desire something, the more they will influence me. If I desire you to love me, when you love me, I'm really happy about it. But when you don't love me, what happens? We know. And so as the soul comes down the cycle, and the little soul battery starts to lose power, I start to desire external, I'm influenced. By the end of the cycle, absolutely everything influences me. I sometimes think the soul's like a raw wound. You know when your wound is exposed, you just touch it, ouch, it hurts, ouch. And everything, every person, every situation is ouch, ouch. It's just hurting, you know, you just feel, you know. Have you ever been surprised just how delicate you can be, how fragile, and how baby little things can just hurt, you know, and how hypersensitive we can be. Just someone's expression, a vibration, even the presence of certain people can influence and affect me. It's all about me. It's actually, I've lost this power of spiritual purity. And I think Baba has come to heal us from all the influences we've collected throughout the cycle. And he's slowly, slowly helping us do that. And I think in a way, if someone asked me, you know, well, how do you know you're moving forward spiritually? That's a good question, isn't it? I mean, how do you really know? I would say one of the main ways is I just feel less influenced by life in general, by people, by attitudes, by behavior, by opinions, all the stuff which normally, you know, and I think increasingly in this world, people are getting more and more disturbed by each other and what's going on around. But Baba is healing us. And I...
bodily pain,
to
be an influence by bodily pain.
Yeah, I mean that's a different question in a way. I think that bodily pain is a, you know, I mean probably many sitting in this room have had extreme forms of that. If not, I must be honest, I haven't had that much. A little bit in my life, but. Yeah, I think we know that when the soul's in a high state spiritually, that there's a resilience to at least manage or cope with bodily pain. But yes, it does affect the soul. But sometimes even with bodily pain, some can still maintain a state of mind that's good, if I can say positive, even though the pain is. Because I think, you know, it's easy for me to say because I haven't been through an extended period, but though I remember thinking, I said to my parents when I was a little child that I died of heart problems in my last life. How I knew, you know how you intuitively know things, and I think we've all been through it at different times in the cycle. But when we have this deep understanding of this time, and sometimes I think on the one hand we've found Baba, we've found what we want, we've found everything, wow, we've come home. But on the other hand, right beside Baba is the time of settlement. They're just walking together, aren't they? And we, what do I focus on most? Do I focus on Baba, or do I focus on the accounts, whether it be with the body or the family or whatever? And I've seen some Brahmins, they really, they're so strongly with Baba, they manage all the ups and downs of the accounts, but some, they're more account focused, you know, misfortune focused, and get so caught up in the account that Baba can become a little bit distant at that time. I know these things are, you know, Baba takes us to the highest point, and we're all effort makers on the journey. It is easy to talk about sometimes, but we all know when it comes to the crunch to really practice these things, but actually it's what makes us really, you know, spiritually strong. So it's like influence is really what impurity is about. And when Brahma Baba left his body, he summarized 32 years of efforts in three words. You know, the famous three words, incorporeal, egoless, and viceless. And I remember reflecting once, it's like when I become incorporeal, it heals me from the influence of the material world. When I become egoless, it heals me from the influence of others' relationships. And when I become viceless, it heals my relationship with God. And what I think is that Baba begins by healing our relationship with this, with matter in a way, healing us from the influence of matter. And what I mean by that is that, you know, in a way, we could probably say when you see that the soul is incorporeal, I'm a non-physical entity. But the sanskara of lust, in a way, is the sanskara of the subtle incorporeal being surrendering to matter and coming under the influence of name and form and shape and color in whatever form. It's like when you really think this extraordinary, eternal, non-physical being bowing down and being influenced by the material world around me. Because the golden age, we weren't influenced by name and form at all. Don't you feel it's ironic that when we're really incredibly beautiful, we have no attraction? And when we're at our ugliest point, we have maximum attraction. Something a bit strange about that. That's our wonderful cycle with all its paradoxes. And yet, you know, really I think that Baba, the golden age, no attraction. But as we come down, further down, and there's that spiritual law, the more I'm attracted, the more I'm influenced. And it's almost like Baba begins by healing the influence of matter, I think, on the soul. And I think that, you know, the practice to really see the soul, see the soul. You know, at the end of last year, I don't know whether you notice, I love the way Baba creates a theme in the mornings and builds on it over weeks and weeks. Over 3 months, Baba was talking about how to see the soul in the body. And Baba kept saying, this is the highest of all efforts, to be in front of another and be not influenced by the physical conditions of that and really meet the soul of the other. You know, whether attraction or repulsion, either side of the game, that really I meet beyond all the conditions of the body and I really begin to see the soul. But secondly, Baba, I think, is healing us from the influence of others. And there's one moli, I've got a little stack of my favorite molis, and Baba said an amazing thing, something like, the seed of being defeated in purity is to be impressed by an individual, or impressed by their nature, their virtues, their personality, or their specialty. The seed of being defeated in purity. And that's why, you know, sometimes when we hear these things, how high is that Baba's teaching? It's so high, but that's why we love Baba. He's telling us absolute truth. And Baba said, to be impressed is to be deceived, and to be deceived is to take sorrow. And we begin to think, you know, and then Baba went on, we begin to think, he went right into, I like this person. I like their virtues, their nature. I love the way they speak the knowledge. Amen. They give me love. They give me cooperation. And you think, okay, what's wrong with that? But what Baba was saying is that we've become stuck in temporary attainment. And we're starting to go back to the old habit of taking from a temporary being rather than Baba. And what Baba went on to say is, subtly Baba goes out of the picture and this person comes as a focus for me. And without realizing it, I've sort of sidelined Baba. How subtle is it to appreciate everyone, respect everyone, value everyone, but not be impressed? Because Baba actually said, the subtle form of lust is to be impressed by people. And sometimes, you know, we often don't see, because what happens when we get impressed with some? We get disgusted by others. You know this nature that as much as we seem to go on one side, sometimes we can swing around to the other side. And it seems that purity in relationships is, you know, it's to be close. I really feel in the Brahman family it's really important to be really loving, caring, close, all those sorts of things, but not impressed, meaning that how can I tell? I mean, if I'm real purity in relationships, it's when I'm not really influenced by people's opinions, ideas, behaviors. I listen to them, I can learn from them. But sometimes some people, if there's some individuals, whatever they say, they sort of feel, oh, that's the truth. They're right, you know? Because there's somehow I've put them on a pedestal. And so it's like Baba's learning or educating us to live together, to be close, to give regard, but ultimately take from God and not to put any human being on some pedestal at this time. Because ultimately, you know, he's healing us from this game of being so attracted to some and repulsed by others, liking some and rejecting. You know, this human game which seems to be so powerful at the moment. So Baba begins to heal us from the influence of this material world, even heal us from the influence of others, so that in relationship I remain stable. But also healing us, I would say, from the influence of my old story. And you know, we're the old souls, so we've got the biggest story. And it's just a wonder, isn't it? Here we are sitting in the present, that we all carry our story in our memory track. And I was once having a chat to Brother Ken about this, actually, how we sort of wondered whether our main attachment in life is to my story, meaning what's happened to me, how people have treated me, what people have done, what people have said, what has happened. You know, that is so deep. And sometimes I identify with that story so deeply, it doesn't allow me to move on in life. And I would say healing from that story is adopting Baba's new story. Baba's given us a new story. You are a deity soul. Actually, you've been pure for most of the cycle. And if I say I love Baba, I have faith in Baba, but I still am completely absorbed in what happened and what they've done and what they're doing and what they should be doing, and my head is so engaged in that, it's like I remain stuck in the impurity of the past, and I've got to somehow release myself by really adopting the new story. And this is why I think Baba says, children, it's a new birth, it's a new life. You have a new story now. You're now the child of God, and you're about to be going to a new world. Yes, all that stuff did happen, and yes, sometimes we have to have healing in some areas, and we shouldn't be in too much denial or suppression, that's true. But if we focus too much on that, we remain stuck in that place as well. And so it's almost like Baba is healing us from all the influences we've collected, so that in a way, once Baba said, complete purity is an unbroken link with God. I can go anywhere, in any company, in any situation, and I sustain my link. No person, no behavior, no attitude, no reaction can cut my sense of connectedness. Absolute purity is to keep my link while living in this world. We all know that's a high destination, but that's what we're all aiming for. And I think it's like this wonderful process of deprogramming myself from all the influences I've collected in the cycle. And I think it's an incredible sense of freedom, you know, when the soul can be around people and they may be going through something, they may be having a mood, whatever. I'm not cut off. I'm very connected. I'm very wanting to support and help, but I'm not absorbing all their stuff into myself. And I think this, it's such a journey, isn't it? Purity is such a journey. And I do think that if we really want to begin to nurture a deeper purity in myself, I would look at my relationship with purity. Do I sort of know it and believe it, or do I really love it? Because I think there's a difference. And it's like knowing and believing it means sometimes that I will come under the influence strongly of the old samskaras. But when I really fall in love, and I think that's really important, it's like recognizing Baba. Sometimes I think we recognize through the intellect, and we understand Baba's a soul, Baba lives in Paramdham, Baba comes at the end of the cycle. It all fits in. We say, yes, that's right. And I get a little bit of strength from that recognition, if not quite a bit. But when I recognize Baba through my heart, when I recognize how lovable and attractive Baba is, that's when I get much more strength from Baba. But thirdly, I think sometimes when I recognize Baba through my conscience, and that really means that it's like it's not that it's Baba's truth, it's my truth. It's my truth. And it's not that I just follow what Baba tells me to do, it actually becomes who I am. I absorb it. And that's when I find my conscience protects me. Because when I've absorbed truth, if I go against my truth, a little bell goes off in your head so quickly, your conscience says, be careful here, you're stepping over the line, be careful. You know how your conscience, and that's where the conscience, it can be very negative when it's guilt-ridden, but it can be so positive in just giving you a gentle warning. It's like, you know, a value which has always been important for me is to respect others. And if, you know, I find I'm going over that line in some way, you know, in speech or even mentally, a warning bell goes off just to say, be careful, you're going to compromise your truth in that way. And I think it's the same with purity, that we recognize it through the intellect, we know it and we believe it, that's good. But when I really recognize how healthy it's going to make me, nothing, it will restore me to become so strong, so stable, so unshakable, regardless of what's going on, then when the heart recognizes, when it sits in my conscience too, it's like I will not do anything to compromise myself And that's when the conscience becomes like your best friend at that point. And I think that when I really love, fall in love with purity, this world is the opposite, isn't it? It's preaching a different story. And yet, when I begin to really follow, love it, it helps. But secondly, I think I've got to create an environment, an internal environment to nurture purity. And you know, the little image I have for myself over the past few years actually is my mind is a sacred place. Because you know, sometimes we own all my thoughts and we own all my feelings in my mind, which, yeah, sure, but what I really mean is it's like that's where I'm going to sit all Baba's truth in myself. It's a sacred place. And if I really want to emerge a deeper purity, I've got to sit truth in that sacred space, God's truth, and really hold it there. You know, having all relationships with one, living Srimad, living knowledge, all these sorts of things. Because when I hold it in that sacred space, it starts to emerge a much deeper purity within myself. And what I sometimes think, do you remember that when Baba asked us to do the five forms? Do you remember the five forms? How long ago was that? Yeah, amazing, 10 years or something.
10 years.
But, you know, in a way, that was really revealing for me, and I kept thinking, why is Baba getting us to do this sort of like, what I began to realize is that we get stuck in the present set of impure sanskars. We're so overwhelmed by a set of sanskars at the end of the cycle. And so Baba was like, said, okay kids, go on a journey and touch your eternal set of sanskars, your original set of sanskars, your devotional set of sanskars, your Brahman set, your angel set. It's like the majority of them are pure. They are pure. And I don't get so stuck in the present. I start to sort of reconnect with parts of the soul, because the whole part is in the memory track. At this moment, perfect purity is sitting in my subconscious. The more my intellect becomes divine and knowledgeable, I can access that gold mine of purity which is sitting in the subconscious. And so I think that, you know, we start to nurture, we create an environment, and I really think to observe my mind. Do I let my mind just, when something hurts me, I just indulge in it, or do I bring myself back? Or something happens, do I just indulge and allow all the angry, hurtful thoughts just to go on and on and on and on? So that what happens is that I just fill my sacred space, I pollute it. And then how long does it take to restore it to a healthy state once more? It takes time. It really takes some time. And that's where I think just to really, I feel if I'm aware, I watch when my thoughts go too far in a direction, just gently pull them back. So I begin to nurture a more truthful state, knowledgeful state of mind, and automatically that will start to pull out the original purity in the soul. But the third thing that happens, I think, on the journey is that storms will come. As soon as we say, okay, Baba, I'm going to, you know, what happens? It will be challenged. I will be challenged. And the drama, whatever, will try to compromise my sacred place of purity. It's going to happen to all of us. And that's what I think when that feeling of really loving purity comes in, I have a strength, a resilience, because there's layers of impurity. Sometimes I think there's like habits, and habits are like formed in this life. Habits come from my family, my culture. They change pretty quickly. in these soft sanskars, I often call them soft sanskars, the sanskars just etched in the soul in the last few lifetimes. You know, sanskaras of intolerance, sanskaras of impatience, seen defect. And with, you know, a bit of effort and time, we can change them. But there's some sanskaras that have been etched in the soul since the beginning of the Copper Age. Lack of self-respect, insecurity, fear. How deep are some of those sanskaras? They're really, and so we have this determination and something triggers them and they just flood into my sacred space. The thing is, I think, not to overreact. Often, I think, we have the wave of vices comes to everyone, you know, the five vices. But it's my reaction to the five vices that does the damage. Guilt, shame, fear, lack of self-respect. And sometimes I've seen some souls are really quite pure. But they, if they have even a little bit of impurity, they overreact to themselves and beat themselves up, you know, like, you know, where some really come to Baba and their sanskars are quite, you know, what can I say, not that pure. But they're knowledgeable, they help, and even when stuff comes, they don't overreact to themselves. They just know I'm in a process of change. They don't really become heavy-handed. I think that's like a sign of a knowledgeable soul. Storms will come. Have you ever heard Baba say, children, storms might come? Has he ever said that?
No.
They will come. And not only storms, sometimes I say, you know, tornadoes and typhoons and earthquakes and tsunamis.
Yes.
I know.
That's a compliment.
He says things like that sometimes. So the storms will come to challenge, and that's where we just shouldn't overreact. It's going to happen on the journey, you know. And if you look at all the scriptures and things like that, you know, where is the Gita set? On the battlefield. You know the word jihad, which everyone knows these days, you know, I think it's interpreted these days, you know, fight the non-believer. But you know, the original meaning was fight the battle within, you know, the battle with my own negativity, my own impurity or whatever. So storms will come, things will emerge, but when we keep, you know, making effort, then they have less and less influence on the soul. But the fourth thing is honesty, that if I'm really practicing, I make my mind a sacred place, I really keep Baba's truth in my mind, but I'm not really moving forward, I've got to be really honest with myself. And sometimes I think that's to really be honest where I don't, I'm not blind to myself on one hand, but I'm not, how should I say, putting myself down too much on the other hand. I really see myself, try to have an objective view of myself. If I'm trying to follow purity, but it's not really working, then where's the leak? Where's the leak in my purity? And if I'm honest, am I dependent on somebody? Am I attracted to somebody still? Am I whatever it is? How can I see myself clearly? What is the leak in my purity that isn't allowing me to get stronger? Because sometimes I think Brahmins make so much effort on one hand, but we're leaking out on the other hand, you know? Because, and it's usually, I think, dependence and taking support from individuals, because that won't, it's like the shadow of their sanskaras is like a shadow over me, and a shadow that sort of, I can't really see Baba as clearly as I'd like to. And then I think as we move forward, really the relationship with Baba gets stronger, and I think just keep going, I think the purity begins to emerge much more deeply. And when that emerges, automatically my sense of stability, my sense of self-respect, my sense of happiness, I feel lighter, I just relax, you know? The intensity, sometimes I get really tense in this life about myself, you know? I just think, but it's a process, it's absolutely a process. I'm just observing myself over all these years. You know, what do you need in Brahman life?
Patience.
Once I heard Daddy Janki say there's three things you need in Brahman life. The first is patience. The second is patience. And guess what the third one was? More patience. You need a lot of patience with yourself. The thing is, never ever give up. Because sometimes I think what's happening in the world today, hopelessness can set in really powerfully. Where I just think, I can't really become pure, I can't really change. So if I don't even give up, I just grind to a halt spiritually. I'm just in that no man's land, if you know what I mean. And that's not even a comfortable place. And sometimes I think it's really good to try to renew my whole approach to things. Because we're such creatures of habit, you know, we just get into habitual patterns of just, you know, like a devotee, just going through the ritual of everything. Sometimes we have to renew my whole approach, freshen my thinking about myself and do something different. Because I really, this year, I had such a deep realization how essential it is to churn knowledge. Newness in Brahman life is actually churning knowledge. And if we don't really be creative with new ideas, then what happens is that we get a bit bored. We get bored and we start to look to... Then sometimes we use service as my entertainment or something like that. You know, or whatever, other things. We sort of, you know, we love Baba, we have faith in Baba, but sometimes, you know, or we live in our comfort zones. And we tell myself I've changed, but actually I've designed my life so that nothing threatens me. You know, nothing makes me feel uncomfortable. I avoid people and situations that make me feel uncomfortable. That's why it's so good to be on the surface field, because it's actually good to be uncomfortable sometimes, because you have to change. You have to work out why I feel uncomfortable.
I felt like it when you have to learn to be comfortable with the uncomfortable.
It's a good way of looking at it. You have to learn to be comfortable with the uncomfortable, because life will push you out of your comfort zones. But sometimes we're so skilled at getting back into those comfort zones again. And so clever in avoiding situations, but sometimes it's really healthy. But I think Baba's way is to just really deeply realize the attainment purity brings, a cleanliness, an honesty, a wholesomeness in myself, and how healthy you feel. And have the courage to try to create that sacred space and hold it in the sacred space. And when something else gets in there, some old story, old impurity, don't worry too much. Just be knowledgeable, work with it and change it, rather than overreact or feel hopeless, oh no, it's happened, you know, feel down and then feel, oh my goodness. I think I've seen, you know, I often think, you know, the story of the hare and the tortoise. We all know the story of the hare and the tortoise. I once was in a country and I said, do you know the story of the hare and the tortoise? They said, no. Oh, you mean the rabbit and the turtle? I said, the rabbit and the turtle. This is in Asia somewhere. I said, oh, well, it could be a rabbit and a turtle as well, I suppose. But what the hares do is, you know, as we know, something happens in life. Problem, get to the center, I've got to meditate, I've got to get my act together, I've got to be with Baba. And then as things get down, I just get back into my old lifestyle. But the tortoise does a little bit every day. And I've just seen some of Baba's children they just every day, they're just paying attention. And they grow and they grow and they grow and they grow. And it's the most beautiful thing to see, the soul blossoming when it just pays attention. Once Daddy Jenki actually asked me, she said, "Do you make much effort?" I said no, but I pay attention to myself. And I think that's what effort is for me, is that you're observing your mind. You know yourself. As I find that if you completely drop your bundle, you know, like something happens and you just get so disturbed, so confused, you have a big storm, so to speak, how long does it take for you to get your feelings back in? But if you're a step ahead of the game and you're paying attention and you can see, often you know certain thoughts are going to lead you in a direction. We know it. But we feed my mind with these thoughts. Just tweaking, observing, tweaking the state of mind to keep your mind and your thoughts and your attitude clean. It really helps. So we're going to do an exercise now. Is that okay?
Yeah.
But, there's a big but here. We're going to have to do quite a bit of room rearrangement. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Good. Now,